Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. The struggles that men face and how to overcome them. That's today's episode. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris, the host of the Investing in Real Estate show. Welcome to the big show. And this is the show where we focus on passive income, building net worth, all for the purposes of being able to create that legacy wealth that you're able to hand down to you and your family. You know, a common thing that we see in the office, a common email that I get on a regular basis are, I don't value myself enough to take action. I've been held back by some limiting belief. I've been researching things for 3 years. I see other people doing this, and I've never taken action. I'm not good enough to do it. Is what really it comes down to. There's some underlying fear that's keeping you, a person, from taking action to build a better version of themselves. I'm really excited because today's guest on the show is David Hoyt. Now, David is a guide, a strategist, a speaker, a coach. He's an experienced designer, communicator, leader, and initiator. He's had the privilege of riding shotgun with John Maxwell, the great John Maxwell, for 19 years, serving as an inner circle member, and most recently served as the president of the John Maxwell Company. But then David decided to step away from that and worked in a limited capacity. He wanted to start working full-time in order to pursue his calling of being a guide to men on their journeys. So he also dives into this involves helping them become the best version of themselves through the highs and the lows of life. And he does this by guiding people through a process, which we're going to talk about on the show today. David, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this, David. And, you know, we talk a lot about real estate on this show and buy and hold real estate. We get in the nitty gritties of tax strategy and other things. But I've learned over the years, that's why we do a bunch of shows around these topics, is that it's not just about the nuts and bolts on a spreadsheet and about being able to pull the trigger financially. There's so much more to success that holding people back. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, that we can dive into some of those subjects today.
Great. Well, you're hitting on my passion when you talk about limiting beliefs or people understanding what they're really gifted and wired to do. I feel like I'm gifted and wired to help people discover that in order to take action on their unique purpose and calling for their life.
So take me back a little bit of your journey. I mentioned some of it here, 19 years serving with John Maxwell as a coach, as an initiator, as a strategist, a communicator. Tell me a little bit about that early journey and how you came to say, you know what, I need to go out on my own. I need to start doing this myself.
Yeah, so So I was 23 years old when I went to work for John, and finishing up college, I was trying to find my way. What I was supposed to be doing, were my gifts, my talents aligned with my heart. And when I discovered John Maxwell, leadership author, guru, it was the perfect alignment. I wanted to be in business, in a business that impacted people directly. And I was fortunate enough, before I even thought about going to work for him, I was a client and I was impacted. And then fast forward a couple of years later and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, John kind of resurfaced, and through a very fortunate set of events, I had an opportunity to go work for him. And so in that season, I was about finding my purpose, my calling, what I was supposed to be doing. I put my head down and I went to work, and I went to work hard, and all kinds of opportunity and blessing opened up as a result. But for me, a defining moment was that was 98. In 2001, I decided at the end of the year to take 8 hours away and do an annual review myself. And I kind of learned the discipline from John. He did something similar. And there was a guy by the name of Todd Duncan. Todd actually is known for sales training in the mortgage business. So there's a real estate connection there. And he had done an audio lesson. This was before podcasts. This was good old-fashioned tapes. And it was called Annual Review with You. It was 8 hours, get away, you know, kind of hour by hour guide. So I'm doing that. So I get away, I start my process, and I realize it was all predicated on having something called a life plan, kind of a strategic operating plan for your life. And I didn't have one at the time. And so I audibled that day, and I created my first homemade version of what was going to be my life plan. But here was the defining moment for me that day. I'm a driven guy. I've always kind of been goal driven. I mean, you go all the way back to elementary school age, and I could tell you goals I had back then. But I realized I was defining success and I was living intentionally in two areas. It was career and it was financial. Everything else was a distant second place. And when I really thought about my life and what I wanted my life to be about that day, I realized those things were important, but I didn't want my life only to be about those two areas. And for me, I identified 10 domains, 10 buckets of life that I wanted to live intentionally in. And so for the next 15 plus years, that was kind of my guide of vocation, finance, or two of my domains. But I got 8 other areas that I'm trying to live purposefully in. And it set me on a course of living as an intentional life as I could. I then hit midlife. You know, I'm 43. I just turned 43 last week. And as I hit my early 40s, I began to re-ask some of those questions. I accomplished a lot of the goals that I had. And in fact, they had surpassed them beyond my dreams or imaginations of 10 to 15 years prior. And there was still this drive in me. There was a little bit of lack of peace. And it put me back to asking, why uniquely am I on this planet here? What am I called? What am I created to do? And I discovered this whole 2-day life plan intensive journey of helping people get in touch with their story, get perspective on their life in order to discover both unique purpose of calling, talents, gifts, et cetera. And anyway, that's what I'm passionate about. And that's what I love helping folks discover for themselves. So I probably went a little long, got carried away, but I want to give you context of kind of how I got here today.
No, that's amazing. And we're going to have links to everything that David just talked about in our show notes page for this episode. So it links to the 2-day life plan process and all of those things so people can take action on that. And I want to help as many people as I can. You mentioned a lot of things there that I want to kind of unpack because I see a lot in your journey very similar to mine. You know, I was focused on money. I grew up with a lot of fears around money. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. We're not the Rockefellers. I heard those things over and over again, but that was just on the superficial surface. You know, there was a lot of self-doubt. Yeah. There was a lot of not feeling worthy of success. And I think for men, because I wanted to kind of gear this towards men a little bit, men have a tendency to fear success. I want to unpack that and dive into that a little bit. What do you think makes up that fear for men?
To me, it all goes back to our identity. Who are we at our core? It's interesting. I have a lot of these conversations, but I had lunch with a gentleman just a couple hours ago, and this was the conversation that we were having. Very successful guy, very successful in sales. But he opened up to me and shared one of the things that he's wrestling with is self-confidence. Dealing with a little bit of anxiety. On the surface, you'd never guess it in a million years. But here's what I can tell you about my journey. And as I have conversations with men and we kind of take off the armor and lay the sword down, there's not a man that I talk with when they get vulnerable that doesn't wrestle with self-doubt, lack of self-confidence at times. And I think it goes back to our identity. Who are we at our core? And it's so easy to, in our early years, find our identity in sports is common in U.S. culture. We find our identity there. We graduate in head to college, and it can be a lot of things, as we know, at college. Women, parties, the whole thing. And then we get into career, and it's the dollars. It's the success, how much money we're making, where we live, what we drive, all the stuff. And at some point, one of two things happens. Either we don't achieve those things and we begin to question ourselves of, are we good enough? Do we have it, what it takes? Why does everybody else seem to be getting further ahead than I am? What's wrong with me? Or we actually achieve a lot of those things, but we wake up thinking that it would have given us the fulfillment, the peace, the things internally that we're craving, and we realize we don't have as much peace, as much joy as we thought we would have had when we accomplished those things. And it causes us to ask ourselves deeper questions of meaning.
Yeah, it's so true because I had a breakdown a few years ago when I had started to really achieve a level of success, but then also was not enjoying that success because it was somewhat meaningless. because I wasn't placing the right intentional values or the intention in the right place. And my wife and I were out in California. We had ditched the kids for a few days and drove 45 minutes away from our mom's house and went out to Napa Valley, which is, you know, everything was better in Napa, right? So
I agree with that.
We were sitting there, and I had randomly just said something stupid, some other thing that I was going to focus on, some other shiny object that I was chasing. You know, I'm going to try this thing now in order to be successful. And my wife just stopped, and she said, "What? I can't take it anymore." She said, "What are you chasing?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going after?" And it really just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, I don't know. What am I chasing? Why? What am I chasing? I mean, it because, yes, I could get by the new guitar or buy the new car. And after a week, 2 weeks, that's not going to make me any happy. You know, that happiness is – that artificial happiness is just going to wear off.
Yeah.
You know, it's not real. So what are we chasing?
Mm-hmm. To me, I think we're all chasing purpose. Here's personal belief that we all internally are asking the question of why are we here? I think that's God-given, innate in all of us to answer or to ask that question. I think a lot of people, it pings around a little bit and they have no clue. And therefore, they use white noise of life to stop the question. Entertainment. Look at our culture and society today. We are entertainment driven. It can be career success. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, all kinds of substance abuse. It's white noise. I think some people with that pinging around inside of them all of a sudden begin to ask more intentional questions of why am I uniquely? Why am I here? What do I have to contribute? I believe we're wired all to make a greater contribution. I also believe that when we really go after seeking the question of why am I uniquely here, I believe we'll discover it. And when you find the people who are most fulfilled and who it's not about how much money they make or, quote, the success they have, I think it's because they've discovered their purpose and meaning in life, and they are about on a consistent daily basis living that out. And I think vocation plays a big part of it, but I also think it's much broader than vocation. A lot of the folks that I work, a lot of the guys that I work with, crazy successful in their career. But when we spend 2 days looking at their life and diving in, inevitably what we almost always find, they have sacrificed so much for that career success,
right?
Both personally, health, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical health, family, et cetera. And oftentimes the lights that go on is, holy crap, I've accomplished success over here, but it didn't give me the significance I was looking for. And unfortunately, I've neglected a lot of other important things in life. And it's at this midlife stage that typically we ask those questions that hopefully we can realign and make the second half of our lives that much more significant. But it goes back to your question. I think it's the question of purpose. And only a small number of people actually go on the journey to discover it. When you ask the right questions and go through the right process and seek mentors, I believe you can find it and then align your life to live that out. And I believe that's where the greatest joy, peace, the things we're all ultimately looking for are found.
You know, it's amazing because while we talk about real estate here on the show and the folks that we work with, I mean, a common refrain among the men that we talk to, I would think, you know, 85% of the people we talk to on the phone in the office are men. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Sure. And it's a common thread among them is that they've just had a child or they're about to have a child. They're tired of commuting 2 hours to work, 1 hour each way. And for men, maybe we're selfish when we're younger because now that the specter of having to provide for a child and a wife, et cetera, comes into their life, it pulls us out of that selfish behavior and we start to think about, you know, building legacy wealth for our family or making sure that our family is taken care of. What do you think it is about that transition? Maybe it's turning 40, maybe it's 38 years old, having that child that forces men to put down that shield for a few moments and really get serious with themselves?
So to me, it's a turning point. And a turning point is anything significant in our life that causes us to somehow shift a little bit directionally. Sometimes those turning points are 180s. I mean, it could be the unexpected loss of a job and what am I going to do now in a totally different career direction. Almost always, call it always, the first child will be a turning point in somebody's life. You know, I didn't have that responsibility before. I now have that responsibility. It could be the death of a parent. I mean, it could be a lot of different factors. But I think when we really begin to ask those questions, something significant has happened in our life to take us off cruise control. I do believe a lot of us get on cruise control in our lives when things are going just fine. There's no major problems or dilemmas or transitions. We just head down and we keep going. But the moment there's a speed bump, could be good, could be bad. But the moment that there is a directional shift, something significant happens, a turning point, is naturally when we ask those questions. And I think men in that 35 to 50, there are naturally some of those turning points. And it could be becoming a father for the first time, typically on the earlier side of that spectrum, or a major career shift, sometimes achieving the things that they thought, but realizing there's got to be more, or it can be that unexpected transition that causes them to say, what am I really doing? What do I really want to do? The other thing that it saddens me is the number of guys that I talk to, that inside them have a dream. They wish they could, but they've had so much success. They have so much responsibility, and they're almost trapped in what they're doing. And they know what they wish they could do, but they don't even believe it's possible. And my challenge to them is, you don't have to have it all figured out. I don't think life works that way. Unfortunately, before we make a major transition, I just don't think we ever get to see all the steps. But my encouragement to them is, why don't you take a baby step in that direction? Doesn't mean you quit your day job, but just do something to begin to pursue that passion of yours and see what happens. And I believe that when we begin to walk in a specific direction, there are doors of opportunity that will begin to open that otherwise would be impossible to open if we don't start in that direction. And I can see, as talking about what you do and how you help people with real estate, I can see how that applies there as well.
Yeah, for me, I mean, that passion of being able to, you know, the emails that come in from folks who tell us that they've been able to hit financial freedom by working with us. You know, they've worked with us for 2 years and they're now on their 10th property and they've been able to quit their job and they're able to spend, like, that's the thing that gets me choked up. That's the thing that I share with the team and I get tears in my eyes because it's so powerful and it means the world to me. I think for a lot of people, and I know this was my struggle, I wasn't clearly defining what success looked like.
Yeah.
And my dad and I had a real heart-to-heart during the holidays and tears. I mean, it was my birthday, it was New Year's Eve, and my dad has always chased his whole life. He's 83 now. Mm-hmm. And he's still, you know, signing up for courses and reading books on business and so forth. But he's never pushed through it. And in his mind. But I had to pull him back this afternoon, this one particular afternoon, and I said, Dad, I want you to understand something. You've achieved it. You have reached that level of success that you've always been chasing. You've got the great family. You've been able to, you're here right now at a birthday party for your grandkids. What else is there? What does it mean for you to be successful? And he'd never thought of it in those terms before. He'd always come from a place of lack, a place of money is the way that I define success. Yeah. When you take people through your 2-day process, and you're really working with them one-on-one, how do you help them define what that success looks like?
Yeah. So part of, you know, a big part of the process is getting perspective on their life first. And one of the things for me and my journey, I mentioned to you at the very beginning, I did my first homemade version of my life plan. But what I realized, all of my thinking then was forward. I didn't first look backward to understand my story and also do a lot of inward thinking to understand my heart. So what I do in this 2-day process is a lot of its first perspective gathering of looking back at your story, looking inward at your talent and your hearts. And when we get to the point, typically late morning on the second day, we're at a point where we go through an exercise and help a person craft their unique life purpose statement. And I tell people, for some, it's an aha moment. It's like so crystal clear. For others, it should definitely be pretty close to center of the bullseye, but they may do a little massaging after it. But where we go from there is we begin writing an envisioned future. And I typically encourage them to look 10 to 20 years down the road, or if there's a significant birthday in that window. And we put 2027. you know, be 53 years old. And I begin to have them write a statement around each of their life domains personally. Give me a sentence or two that describes what success looks like 10 years down the road. In your family, you know, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids. Give me a sentence or two around what that looks like. And we do vocation. We kind of work down it. And, you know, in a session like that, we keep it to a sentence or two. But the one of the homework things that I give them is take a couple hours minimum, ideally a half day. And with what we started, that's all it was. It was a starting point. I want you to get together and I want you to write. And nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to judge it. It should make you a little bit scared and nervous. But think about what success looks like in that window of time that you have picked. And begin to dream and begin to define it. And I don't believe you just name something and you achieve it. That's not a personal belief. But man, if we don't envision the life we want, how are we going to make decisions today to get us going in that direction? And I do believe that how do we end up? We're going to end up someplace 10 years from now.
Right.
How we're going to end up there is the decisions that we make today, the next day, the next day. And unless we have a picture of where we want to be, we're going to end up someplace randomly versus someplace on purpose. And so for me, it's write the statement, define what it looks like, and think not just a year or two out, think 10 to 20 years out of what success looks like. Another exercise, you know, is having somebody think about their epitaph, somebody think about their funeral. What do you want said? And it's those kind of exercises that allow us to define success. And hopefully we define it a lot broader than simply our bank account.
Yeah, that's really powerful. But the epitaph thing, or even, you know, the eulogy, what would you want people at your, you know, at your funeral to be saying about you? Is it that, oh, that guy made a lot of money and he never saw his kids, you know, he was never around and he was really selfish with his time. He didn't give of his heart to other people. And he was more concerned about, you know, what he held on to than what he was able to give away. It's, you know, that's not the eulogy that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's powerful. And this idea of envisioning something, that whether it's a vision board or putting something down in your journal and thinking about it, it's not just about like some positive affirmation like you talk about, like it's out of The Secret, right? It's aligning that energy in the universe and through prayer and meditation with an intentional space in your life. And you start to align yourself. It's funny, when you start to put yourself in that line, people start to just come into your life kind of randomly if you're open to it, right? If you're still shut off to it and you're just journaling and you're like, okay, I don't believe any of this mumbo jumbo, I'm done. Well, then the universe isn't going to align to start bringing you mentors that suddenly show up at your church or at a meeting. And, I'd love to go grab lunch with you. And all of these things start to align in miraculous ways if you allow them to.
Totally agree. I think we're a byproduct. And who we enter into a relationship with is a byproduct of who we are. So when we're growth-oriented, when we're seeking our purpose, when we want to make a difference, naturally people who are on the same path and same journey are attracted to us. And all of a sudden that becomes our network. But until or unless we're willing to make that change ourselves and begin to become that type of person, those kind of people are not going to enter our life. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Give us a practical idea. When you mentioned the purpose, the life, the mission statement, or what do you call it specifically?
So unique life purpose statement. And then there's the vision, and the vision for me is typically 10 to 20 years down the road, the envisioned future.
So the life purpose statement, that mission statement that we could staple to our wall. Give me a typical example out of like one of these workshops, what one might look like that you might help refine. I always think these sort of real world examples helps us frame it.
Well, I'll give you mine. How about that?
Yeah.
So, mine is, I exist to be a guide to men on their journeys to live lives of purpose, courage, and intentionality. So totally unique to me, totally unique to my gifting, totally unique to my heart. But typically it's less than 20 words. It's succinct. And how do you know you've dialed it in? When you say it, there's a sense of healthy pride. There's a sense of that's what I'm called to do. And when you're doing it and you can look back at a day that you've just completed and you see tangibly how you are living that out, there's that healthy sense of accomplishment, self-confidence, as I'm doing what I was created to do.
That's great. That's a powerful, powerful statement. You know, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm just curious, after working 19 years with John Maxwell, you were 23 years old. Are there like three big takeaways from knowing him personally, working with him that closely, seeing what he was able to do to change people's lives, whether it's the books that he's written or the sessions that he had one-on-one with individuals? Do you have like maybe three or two or one huge takeaways from working with John?
So I have so many. I mean, John over time truly became like a father-like figure to me, and learned more from him than any other person by far. I've learned the most from him. But some things specifically is around this idea of intentional living. John is so intentional in everything that he does. He's written a book, highly recommend it to your listeners, called Intentional Living, one of the top five books I've ever read. So I've learned from him what living an intentional life looks like. I've also learned from him the power and the value of never arriving, of always being on the growth journey. You know, John's now 70. I mean, he's written over 100 books. He's sold 26 million copies. If somebody could kind of put it on cruise control and say, you know, I've arrived, I've grown enough, I can start to coast, it would be him. And trust me, knowing him up close and personal, there is no cruise control. There is only going for it, and it's ongoing growth. And then I would say the last thing, and many more, but top three, is grace. I've seen John just give grace to people, not carry grudges. You know, in business, there's good relationships. There's then sometimes things that don't end as well as you would like. But boy, John gives grace and blessing to people better than anybody I've ever worked with. So grateful for the 19 years, learned so much. Still, I mean, a wonderful friend and mentor. None of that has changed. And continue to champion all that he's doing to help leaders.
That's wonderful. Really powerful. And I haven't read his book. I haven't read How to Live an Intentional Life. I'm going to check that out. And I'll have links to that in the show notes page so everyone can dial that in as well if they haven't read that. David, it's been so great having you here on the show. I really appreciate your wisdom. And I hope men got a lot of, women too, but I hope that men who deal with a lot of these issues specifically are going to get a lot out of today's show and can really start to dial this in. How can people go through your 2-day life plan process? How can people learn about everything that you're working on? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website, just my name, davidshoyt.com, davidshoyt.com. And then on there is about life plan coaching. I do some consulting as well, and it's all on there.
Perfect. Well, I'm sure our listeners, there's a lot of folks in our audience who would really love to be able to take you up on that and go to one of these, you know, either one-on-one coaching or to be able to come out for a weekend and spend with you as well. David, thanks so much for joining us on the show. It's been a real treat.
Thank you, Clayton. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. I hope you got as much out of this as I did. I'm going to be checking out a couple of the books that David mentioned and I'm going to be listening to this repeatedly. So my big thanks to David. And thanks to all of you for making this a part of your weekly schedule. We publish the show 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now go out there, take action, live an intentional life, but also become a real estate investor and take action. We'll see you next time, everyone.